Today, brethren, I want to start out talking a little bit about sports. Unfortunately, it's one of my least favorite sports, which is soccer. If you are a true soccer fan, I apologize. I wish you had better taste, but that's all right. You know, sports are only a game, of course, and we all have our own personal preference of what we enjoy the most, even if it is soccer. But speaking of that, I'm sure most of you know the Women's World Cup. U.S. Women's soccer team just recently won the World Cup about a week and a half ago. Other than possibly the Olympic gold medal, that's one of the most prestigious awards or feats that you can accomplish in the sport of soccer. You know, these women put in a tremendous amount of work throughout their life to accomplish what they did. And as Americans, I think that it's only somewhat natural to have a certain amount of pride in what they've done and be pleased with what they've done and happy for them, right? I mean, it's kind of like when the Royals were in the World Series or the Blues were in the Stanley Cup. There's just something about a certain sense of local pride that all people have, and I think that's totally acceptable. Even though I don't care much about soccer, since they're there, why would I root for any other country, right? I'm glad that they won. But even though I'm happy for the team as a whole, you know, there's one particular player that is, to me, quite appalling, somebody that I'm not really proud of. And this is not just her. I think some of her opinions and ideas are shared by probably many on the team. But this one in particular has kind of become the face of the team. You know, she's not only outspoken, but she really fits the agenda of the media. She's an extremely liberal feminist, lesbian with purple hair, and then now she happens to be a world champion. Right? How much better of a poster child can you get out there than somebody like this? And it's not only her political views and her sexuality that I disagree with. You know, I don't personally find purple hair attractive. But there's something else that really disturbs me about her, and it's her character. When I was first preparing this, I thought I was going to show a video, but it was only 30 seconds, and I thought the time we set up and do things different, it wouldn't quite be worth it. So instead, you'll get me acting. I would still recommend you to go on YouTube and find this. Just type in Megan Rapinoe, I deserve this, and you'll find the video. Have any of you seen this? Few of you? A couple of us? All right. Well, if you haven't, I would really check that out. Because the scene here is during the victory parade for the U.S. Women's World Cup team. And you have the face of the team, a co-captain, Megan Rapinoe, all right, with one leg propped up with the World Cup trophy in one hand, a bottle of champagne in the other. And someone just walks up. It's very impromptu kind of filming. It's almost like a cell phone. She walks up, she films her and zooms in on her, and it's almost hard to act that arrogant, but she just stares at the camera. She's got, of course, sunglasses on, makes big duck lips, right? Just, I deserve this. I deserve this. And then the woman asks, what do you deserve? Everything. Everything. And that was it. 30 seconds. And I'm just like, what did I just see? This is one of the most arrogant things I can recall seeing in recent history with any athlete. I mean, you know, we know this I deserve this attitude has been around forever, especially with people in fame or those who have accomplished a lot in physical ways. Muhammad Ali, I am the greatest. You know, but even that was, he had, to a certain extent, proved that in the world of boxing, he was the greatest. And he was out to disprove those who didn't believe in him. Hers is just an entirely different attitude of, I deserve this. Everything. I deserve everything. So you've got a champion of the world, a hero and role model to millions of women and girls in her natural element, right? No scripts, no prompts, no interviews. Just here it is, flat out, and that's what you get. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3, we're going to read verses 1 through 5. I might need to get to 2 Timothy. There we go. Know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men and women, right, mankind, will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. So, five scriptures there, brethren, but you know, after seeing that video, I couldn't get this section of scripture out of my mind, and I really can't think of any better descriptors of what I acted and what I saw than what we have here in 2 Timothy. Lovers of money, lovers of themselves, boasters, proud, unthankful, without self-control, headstrong, and haughty. When you see this, and maybe you have a small picture in your mind of what I deserve this. It was every single one of those words to the absolute max of what they could represent. So why do I bring it up? You know, as I mentioned, I saw this. It's just a short little video of a soccer player that none of us knew about 2 weeks ago, and we'll all forget about in another 2 weeks, right? That's just the way things go. Fame comes up and down in sports and celebrities and all this. But that brings me kind of on to my next point. And thinking of how much faster things are going, you know, I was thinking about how much faster human character is changing and how much faster it's declining. And so the first point of why I thought this was important is because the stage is different now. The stage is different and much larger now than it has ever been. It's so much easier for Satan to spread this message and infiltrate minds than it has ever been, you know, throughout history. Gone are the days, I was thinking about, you know, like my grandpa, born in 1915. And he died in, 2016, somewhere in there. And it's like, 2006, I don't know, but all he did was read. That's all he did. He would have never even seen or heard anything like this, right? And then you had TV, but now you have internet. You have Facebook and Twitter and YouTube, and it's just blasted everywhere. Satan has the biggest stage that he's ever had, and it's easier than ever for him to put this, I deserve this, attitude out there. You know, I was surprised, actually, the YouTube views on this video were very low. But on the Twitter, which I'm not on, but, you know, you see the screenshots and the views are there. One tweet of this had over 4 million views and then 10,000 retweets. So it was shared over, and then each of those, how many views and retweets did those? I mean, it's millions and millions of views, right? So again, point number one of why I think some things like this, we want to keep these things in mind because we have to recognize that Satan has the largest stage that he's ever had right now. And we need to be watching out for things as we see them come up. We can't just brush them off. Which leads kind of to the second point here, and shows how rapidly human character is declining. You know, this idea of I deserve this is not new. Really, when you stop and think about it, that's kind of the message that was pushed to Eve, wasn't it? This isn't bad. It's okay. It'll give you wisdom. You deserve this. And then she gets it in her mind, okay, I deserve this, right? That's pretty much what happened. And it's the same self-centered, selfish message that's been around since the beginning of mankind that Satan has been pushing. What's alarming, though, is how much quicker this is becoming accepted and celebrated than it ever has before. You know, speaking of Muhammad Ali, and I wasn't around in the 60s and 70s, but he was, when he had that attitude, there was a lot of opposition against Muhammad Ali. He was not celebrated because of what he was saying, I'm the greatest. I mean, I watched a couple interviews when I was going through this, and I couldn't believe how many news sports broadcasters that were interviewing him would tell him flat, I would not tell Muhammad Ali anything, right, to cut him down. But they'd tell him, I think you're a bag of wind, and you're going to get beat. And it's like, I would not challenge this guy, first off. You are not, that's not very good discernment. But second, it just showed the culture of, like, you know, people didn't want to see that kind of attitude. Think if this video was seen 100 or 50 years ago. It would not be celebrated like it is today, would it? You know, of those tweets that I told you on the one Twitter post, it has over 76,000 likes. Now, while that's a small number to 4 million, you know, that's only people that are actually taking the time to push the button. And there's those others who are kind of still afraid from maybe how they might offend a family member if they show that, hey, I like this, you know. But the speed and the momentum of this self-centered, I deserve this attitude is growing at a rapid pace. Again, the stage is bigger than ever. The acceptance is larger than ever. And even now it's becoming celebrated by many to have this I deserve this attitude. So what do we make of it? You know, I've spent 10 minutes talking about a soccer player, again, that we will forget about in 2 weeks. But then there will be something else, won't there? And then there will be something else after that. So what I think we need to do is turn over to Ephesians 6 as we just kind of begin to wrap this up here. What do we make of things when we see it? Do we just brush it off? To an extent, yes. We don't want to just dwell on things like this, and we don't want to allow ourselves to get too emotional over things like this. But at the same time, we need to keep something else in mind. Let's turn to Ephesians 6. In verse 12, this is very important. Probably, I think one of the most important scriptures in the Bible that really separates the true church from anyone else who claims to be religious is by understanding where true good and evil comes from. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So when you stop and think about that, brethren, you know, Megan Rapinoe is what I'm not going to say. She's a bad person, right? She is just a person who's living in this world of which Satan is the god of this age, right? He is pushing this agenda and I deserve this attitude on people like he always has been. But as we see things like this, we need to remember and discern. Kind of like we heard last week, we need to continue to discern not only what's right and wrong, good and bad, but we need to discern where that bad is coming from. And remember that it's not people that are our enemies, all right? It's principalities and powers and spirits in higher places. And so if we do that, if we can keep that in mind, then we should be able to stay on God's side of the road, and we should be on the right track to ruling with Him and His kingdom, where we can then teach, you know, not only Megan Rapinoe, but everyone, hey, none of us deserved this. This is all because of God's grace and love that got us to be a part of His family, right? Thanks.